Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pick and Pop podcast in association with Pick and Roll and Zoom TV. I'm Christopher Tyler, and on the line with me, as he did last week, Lockie France from pickandroll.com.au to join us for a very special March Madness edition covering the women's side. Damon Arsenis and I had a chat yesterday about the men's side of the bracket, so make sure to check that out on pickandroll.com.au. But Lockie is here to join us to talk about the women's side. Lockie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, mate. It's great to be here.
So like we discussed with Damien yesterday, we have a lot of Aussies in the men's side of the bracket, and we also have a lot of Aussies in the women's side. That's who we're going to look at today, and we're going to start off with a girl that we spoke about last week, Christy Wallace, who plays for Baylor. Now, they got the one seed, so they'll be playing in the Oklahoma City region of the tournament. Can you let us know about their journey to the tournament so far and what you expect from Baylor once the tournament begins?
Well, Baylor, they lost just the 3 games all season, and one of those was actually the Big 12 championship. So that was a bit of a boil over, but they come in pretty good form outside of that. One seed, of course, they're going to be expected to win their first round matchup against Texas Southern. They should do that quite comfortably. And I don't really see them facing a real challenge until the Sweet 16, where they'll play Louisville or Tennessee.
And then if they can get past those, either of those two teams, you think they can make the Final Four and even the championship game? Because this side is a team that has a whole lot of upside. Obviously, as a one seed, you probably wouldn't expect anything less than a Final Four performance from them, especially last year. They didn't quite get there. They underperformed last year, so hopefully they can improve on that performance from last year this year.
Oh, certainly, yeah. If they can get past Louisville or Tennessee, they'll certainly be... They'll come up against Mississippi State in the Elite Eight. You'd probably expect them to win that. That'll be a tough matchup, but they're definitely looking at a Final Four spot, and I don't think they'd accept anything less at this point.
And what can we expect from Christy? We spoke about her a little bit on the show last week, but what do you expect out of her? How many minutes can she get? How many points can she get? Will she be one of the integral players for Baylor going into the tournament?
Oh, certainly. She's been huge for them all season. She started every single game. She's been in great form throughout the conference tournament. She was in the all-tournament team, probably one of the first picked, and she's going to be massive for them.
And let's move over to talk about Alana Smith, whose Stanford Cardinals are the 2 seed in the Lexington region. They have a first-round matchup against 15-seeded New Mexico State. You would have thought they would have taken that. And again, this is another team that has the potential to go very deep into the tournament.
Yeah, so it's interesting with Stanford. Usually on the women's side, the top 4 seeds in each region get to host on the first weekend, but the Pac-12 Gymnastics Championship is actually being hosted by Stanford this year on the same weekend. So they'll actually have to travel to 7-seed Kansas State. So that could be a bit of a tricky matchup, even in the second round in front of Kansas State fans rather than themselves. Barring that, they would then move on to play probably 3-seeded Texas, and that's probably going to be a real banana skin for them. Texas have knocked off Baylor already this year, and they're a team that's really looking to, break through and maybe even go to a Final Four themselves.
And again, what can we expect from Alana Smith from these matchups?
Well, Alana's probably entered 6th player now. She's one of the first off the bench every game. She's really run into some good form in recent weeks, made the Pac-12 all-tournament team with 18 points in the championship game win. And behind the likes of Erica McCall and Kaylee Johnson, who will probably be Stanford's starting bigs, she's going to play a real big role with a lot of minutes.
And let's look at Oregon, who have Jacinta Vandenberg, Morgan Yeager, and Megan Trinder. Now, Megan Trinder is injured, so she'll be out for the rest of the season, so she won't be taking any part in the tournament. They are the 10th seed in the Bridgeport region. Their first-round matchup is against a seventh-seeded Temple. Now, the problem for Oregon, even as a 10th seed, you wouldn't have thought that they would be able to do too much damage unless there is a fairy tale story for Oregon there. But they are in the same corner of the bracket as UConn as well. So that's going to be a danger game for really anyone. So I don't know how far you see Oregon going. What do you think?
But Oregon, they're so young, but they're so talented. I would pick them as favourites against Temple. I think they got shafted a bit with the 10 seed. when you look at the teams above them, University of California, a 9 seed, where Oregon outperformed them in the Pac-12 this year. So I see Temple getting through, Oregon getting past Temple in the first round. Then they would take on second seeded Duke in the second round. And look, Oregon, they've knocked off some big teams this year. They've knocked off Washington. They've knocked off UCLA. They've played Stanford close on two occasions. But to get far, they'd have to go through Temple, then Duke, then Maryland, who are the 3 seed before even thinking about UConn. So
that's a tough draw. Out of all the Australians, out of all the teams with Australian representation, you'd say that Oregon has the most difficult path towards the national championship game.
Definitely, yeah. And they've got the talent, but they are lacking that experience a bit.
And what can we expect from Vandenberg and Jaeger? Is there going to be much game time for those two girls?
Not so much for Morgan Jaeger. Oregon's backcourt is fairly stacked. So they've got freshman of the year Sabrina Ionescu, and then the Pac-12 three-point leader in Lexi Bando, and then Spanish import Maite Cazorla has been starting for them. Vandenberg's been, she sees a bit of time off the bench. She's been a bit usurped by the freshman stars, but she's can still play a role, and if she's needed for extended minutes, they know they've got someone in her that can definitely make an impact for them.
Now, Madeline Dennis and her Dayton Flyers are the 12th seed in the Oklahoma City region. They have a first-round matchup against the 5th-seeded Tennessee, so they are in the same region as Christy Wallace and Baylor. What can we expect from Maddie Dennis and Dayton?
Well, Dayton are another team like Oregon that it looks like they might have got a bit shafted in the draw as well. They were tabbed to be a 10 seed by most people coming in. So they did cop a pretty tough draw playing Tennessee in the first round. It's a neutral venue, but Tennessee will always bring a strong contingent of fans to a place like Louisville, which is only 3.5 hours drive away. It's going to be tough. If they can get past that in some sort of miraculous circumstance, then they'd have to take on Louisville, and I can't see them getting 2 upsets in a row.
Now, Maddie Dennis's minutes have declined rapidly throughout the season, and she hasn't really been getting much game time recently. Do you expect that to stay the same come the tournament? Because obviously, once the tournament comes around, then the rotations decrease even further. So I can't really expect to see much from Maddie Dennis in these games.
Yeah, and that's unfortunate as well, because she did have time earlier in the season when it really looked like she was going to impact the team. I mean, she had a double-figure scoring effort, but evidently that one performance wasn't enough to, I guess, see the coach give her more minutes, and then her playing time pretty much fell to zero during the conference tournament, which is unfortunate.
So she'll probably be in the same boat as Grace Collette for Gonzaga, the 11 seed also in the Oklahoma City region. They got a first-round matchup against 6-seeded Oklahoma. We spoke about Grace on the show last week and mentioned that she hasn't played in any games since December, and again, we expect that to continue.
Yeah, that's probably not going to change at this point. I mean, Gonzaga could spring a few surprises. Coach Lisa Fortier, in her first season at Gonzaga, actually got an 11-seeded team to the Sweet 16. They've knocked off Stanford this season. They've played plenty of other sides reasonably close, and Oklahoma are on a bit of a slide. So whilst Grace might not get too much playing time, there's definitely scope for Gonzaga to pull the upset in at least the first round.
And then the last Australian that we wanted to touch on is Rebecca Hatchard from Montana State. She's also in the Oklahoma City region as a 14 seed, matching up against the 3-seeded Washington. What do you expect from these guys?
They're going to find it really tough. They'll face up against Washington, as you said, who feature National Player of the Year Kelsey Plum, all-time scoring leader in NCAA history. And look, it's in Seattle. I just can't really see them beating Washington. Rebecca, her minutes have really increased lately. She's played about 190 minutes all season, but 120 of those have come in the last 6 games.
She's hitting her straps at the right time.
She certainly is. She had, 12 points in a game in early February, and evidently the the coach thought that was enough to see her get a bit more playing time, and she's really, really flourished in the late season.
So we've got four teams in the Oklahoma City region, only one with the real potential to probably do too much damage. Out of all the teams that we've mentioned on the podcast today, which team are you most confident can go, firstly, can go the furthest, and secondly, can potentially make an impact and potentially go to the championship game? Is it going to be Baylor that can do the most damage?
Look, Baylor are probably the best team. They're the one seed, but they are in the same side of the draw as UConn. So they've already lost to UConn this year. So they would have to go through UConn to get to the championship game. Stanford, on the other hand, they're only the two seed, but they do avoid UConn would avoid them until the championship game. Still, I think Baylor's probably the best shot we've got at winning a championship this year, but Stanford wouldn't be far behind.
And do you give any of the other teams, out of the other four teams, do you give any of those a chance at even cracking perhaps the Sweet 16 or even the Elite 8? Would there be any fairy tale stories from either of those other four teams?
Look, Oregon's the one to watch. They've got that 7 seed first up, which I expect them to get through. And then it just takes one big game against, probably it'll be Duke in the second round. And from there, anything could happen. They've got the players to make it happen.
Were there any Australian teams that were, or teams with Australian representation that were perhaps unlucky not to make it? Because we spoke about a lot of these teams on the podcast last week and went through all the stats from all the girls. Were there any teams that really stood out to you that perhaps should have made it that didn't?
Not really missing out on at-large bids. There are a few teams that, as we mentioned last week, that were playing in conference championships that lost in the final of a one-bid conference, like in Northern Illinois, or even an Idaho State playing against Montana State in the Big Sky Championship. But this season it was pretty cut and dry as far as the Aussies go. No one really, really going close, but just missing out on it at large this season.
So everyone's got to keep up to date with all the stuff from pickandroll.com.au, at pickandrollau. And what's your social media account as well? At Lockie Heel?
That's the one.
At LACHYHEEL, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
And you'll be tweeting about all that sort of stuff, and you'll be also writing a whole bunch of articles for the pickandroll.com.au website, so everyone has to make sure to stay tuned for that. And let's hope when we speak again that we only have good news. Obviously, the Oklahoma City region is going to be tough, but if Baylor can prove that they are one of the best sides in the nation and Stanford can do the same thing, then hopefully we can have a lot to talk about when we next speak, Lockie. So thank you for joining us. And again, everyone can catch your stuff at pickandroll.com.au.
Thank you.